and a background like that, you probably do know quite a bit about the company, and you probably knew Mr. Hack personally. Maybe you can tell us some things about Mr. Hack.
Yes, I will. But of course, Mr. Hack was a man of already of 50 years of age when he started the Home Dairy Company, and it was only after that when I first knew him. However, since he had such a colorful career, it was almost common knowledge as to how he grew up. Charles Hack was born in Saginaw on January 4th, 1868. His parents were natives of Germany and came to the United States a few years earlier and then settled in Bloomfield Township, Saginaw County. He was a pupil in the rural schools of Saginaw County until about the age of 15. Since that was about the extent of schooling in those days, he did a lot of studying after that on his own to augment his education. He worked first at home on the farm and then in lumber camps in the winter. But in 1888, he was working for another farmer, and he was very interested in him and felt him responsible, therefore sent him to his own farm, which was in Lawrence County, Missouri. When he had saved enough money on this job, he finally was able to go to school again, which was the Pierce City Baptist Business in Missouri. There, an instructor became interested in him and availed on him to go to Flathead Valley, Montana, where the professor had a sawmill. While in Montana, he had many other jobs, but I like to always mention this one, but because it shows Mr. Hack's character so well. After some real estate ventures, he accumulated enough money to go into the restaurant business, and a French cook was in partnership with him. He built the Hoffman House, a 20-room hotel, and business was very good. However, a financial panic started in 1893, and the business failed. Suddenly, Mr. Hack's partner left him with a mountain of debts. But this didn't leave him with any thought but to pay these debts back. He refused to go into bankruptcy. In fact, he worked in several jobs for 7 years until he raised enough money to pay back all his debts. This was one of the great characteristics of Mr. Hack. His honesty was always outstanding. He then heard about the gold rush in the Klondike in Alaska and immediately started out for there. He braved many hardships on this trip, but was surprised that the Canadian police thought so much of him, and then learned that they were watching how well he treated his animals, the horses and dogs. He spent several years in Alaska. In fact, at one time was working a mine, but when he injured his knee and could not work any longer, he finally answered his mother's plea to come home. He reached Saginaw in 1902 at the age of 35 and finally married his old sweetheart, Elizabeth Reif, who had waited for him for 14 years.
Aunt Lizzie had a lot of patience in those days. I remember her as a woman in her 80s and having a lot of patience with my little children crawling around her feet.
She proved to be a wonderful wife to Mr. Hack, because he was constantly going into various businesses and couldn't seem to find the right thing. However, in 1909, he purchased the Guerra Creamery and later the Lawndale Creamery. In fact, these were fairly successful because he was himself a very good butter maker. In 1918, he established the Hack's Home Dairy of Saginaw, and in the fall of that year, sold the Lawndale Creamery.
Well, that brings us up to the beginning of the Home Dairy Company. But, Arnold, I always thought there was a donut business connected with the early founding of the Home Dairy Company. Have you ever heard anything about this? Or can you recall any donut business that was especially connected to the Home Dairy Company?
Yes, in those early years, the Home Dairy Company made an excellent fright cake. And Mr. Hack enjoyed telling the fact that he bought the recipe for $1,500 from a friend of his, Frank Allen. But let me go back to the reason why Mr. Hack picked the location that he did for his first store. You know, this was a time in history when the country suddenly became dry due to the federal legislation known as the Volstead Act. Of course, many beer gardens and saloons were closed all on one date, and one of these was known as Peter Beck's Saloon in the 400 block of East Genesee in Saginaw. Now, believe it or not, this became the home dairy store. This 20-foot-wide store was renovated and painted white inside, and when it was opened, it showed no evidence of the former saloon at all. The only thing that was left of the saloon was the fancy leaded glass mirrors that was always used as a backdrop in the store. Now, you may have wondered why Mr. Hack named him Dairy. Well, this brings us back to Frank Allen again that I spoke of. Allen had opened many Papa and Mama stores in western New York and in lower Ontario and in southern Michigan. So Mr. Hack wanted to open a similar kind of store the way his friend had. But really, his store didn't remain a Papa and Mama store very long. They did go in for quality food right in the beginning. In fact, Mrs. Hack made many of the delicatessen items that they sold. One item that I remember went very well was when he bought Spanish peanuts by the barrel and put them through an old coffee grinder that he bought and made peanut butter and sold it by the pound. And was this delicious? And of course, he had to make use of his old creamery experience, and he therefore installed a creamery churn, a butter churn, in the back room, and was soon making quality butter again. Now, this quality item soon got around in Saginaw, and therefore he had to make plans to merchandise it in quantity. So he first hired a young man that had taken a course in butter making in MAC, which now, of course, is Michigan State. His name was John Schneider, and he was very conscientious. In fact, his butter got prizes in the state fair and county fairs very often. Since he had a quality product, he also had to have a good-looking container. Therefore, he had some crocks made to his specifications, and they were glazed in two colors, white and blue, and had the name of the product also glazed on it, which was Homemade, H-O-M-A-D-E. Mr. Hack conceived this trademark himself, and it was later used on many of the products of Home Dairy Company. Of course, one of the products that of butter making that was always in surplus was buttermilk. But Mr. Hack again showed his ingenuity by using this as a drawing card in the store. In fact, he put it in a cooler and had it served over a counter, all you could drink for a nickel. I don't know how many drinkers that we converted from hard liquor, but we certainly sold a lot of buttermilk. In fact, this is my first recollection of home dairy. I think I was about 11 or 12 years old when I worked there on Saturdays selling buttermilk.
It sounds like he did a thriving business with his buttermilk and his butter. Is this why he branched out into the other stores?
That's right. That's why he had to expand, because there was such a demand, he couldn't take care of it all in one store. First, he tried delivery from house to house, but that didn't work as well as other outlets. So he not only had dairy counters in other grocery stores, but in fact opened several stores purely for the sale of his products. In fact, there were 8 or 10 at one time in the Saginaw area and 2 in Bay City. However, it seemed that these small stores were very hard to control, and therefore he eventually closed them all and went back to expanding his own store. In fact, the Bay City store, which was run by Fred Pretzer, was purchased by Mr. Pretzer, and thereafter it was no longer a part of Home Dairy Company, but he ran the business for years, and in fact, his son ran a downtown cafeteria, which was an offshoot of this, and only closed it this year and retired. Well, I guess I quite a bit of detail in the beginning to show, however, that Mr. Heck was a very able man, and he built this small business into a million-dollar corporation eventually. It showed that he was a real promoter and was full of ideas. I think the most unusual fact of this is that he started the Home Dairy Company when he was already 50 years old, as I stated once before.
I'm certainly glad to hear how the first store started in Saginaw. But then I know there were others that were opened. Do you know how this came about, Arnold?
Yes, Helen. I don't know if you recall hearing of Rudy Eckert, but he was Mr. Hack's right-hand man for a good many years. And he always enjoyed telling of how he originally met Rudy Eckert. I think he said it was about back in 1912, when he was still in the creamery business, that he went into a general store in Frost Corners at one time and was waited on by a young man. And he was such a terrific salesman and did so well by him that he asked his name. And when he came home that evening, he said to his wife, you know, I met a boy at Frost Corners today that, in my opinion, has in him the making of a high-class salesman. And if I ever have a place for him, I'm certainly going to hire him. So in 1918, about 6 years later, when his store in Saginaw seemed to be a success, he thought about Rudy again. He wrote him a letter and said, I want you to come and work for me. It happened, though, that he had moved to Hemlock and was working in a store there, and the letter had to be even forwarded to him. And when he received it, he wrote back and said that he was sorry, but he was doing real well there, and he had just received a raise, and he hated to leave at this time. Mr. Hack wouldn't take no for an answer. He went to see him and convinced him that he would be able to do much better with Mr. Hack in the food business. And so it was that he started with Home Dairy Company and, in fact, met his wife, Selma Beyer, who had come from Hemlock to work in the store for Mr. Hack. They were soon married and lived in the little apartment above the store where Mr. and Mrs. Hack originally had lived. And, of course, they were already planning another store by this time, and this was in Flint. And as soon as it was ready, the Eckerts moved to Flint, and there started a tremendous career. For Mr. Eckert was a very enterprising young man, and his wife was very helpful to him. And the business grew so fast that there was just one expansion after another. In fact, in 1929, they built a five-story building in Flint with a departmentalized food store on the first floor with a lunch counter, a cafeteria on the second floor, a large banquet hall on the third floor, general offices and storeroom on the fourth floor, and a complete bakery on the fifth floor. All this while, they were also planning other stores. In fact, in 1927, a new building was built in Pontiac. And about the same time, the Saginaw store was remodeled and expanded. These stores all eventually had lunch counters, cafeterias, complete bakeries, and the full line of groceries, meats, produce, and specialty counters such as large varieties of cheese, imported teas and coffees, and many unusual items. Now, we must remember that this was a time in history where everything was booming. In 1929, the stock market, business in general, was booming. In fact, it was in October of 1929 when the whole thing really blew up. The stock market crashed, and it caused a disruption in much business. And even though nationally many people were going out of business and, in fact, committing suicide because of their stock losses and whatnot, the business was so good at Home Dairy that no one seemed to notice. In fact, they were already planning two more stores. The lease was signed in Jackson for a new market in the downtown area. And because they thought that business would never go anywhere else but in a downtown area, they signed a 99-year lease there. In fact, this was really one of the first serious mistakes that was made in this business, as I will tell you about later. This lease called for $1,600 a month, which even in 1929 was high rent. But as I said, business was booming and things looked good. And in fact, they opened a lovely store there, three stories, the usual full bakery, cafeteria, and lunch counter. And business started out fine. In September of that year, they also opened another store in Lansing. And there again, they signed a 99-year lease. But there, they apparently had become more shrewd because it was a larger building and a new building. And still, the lease only called for $750 a month. As I stated, business was excellent, and the Lansing store started off with a bang. I believe it was in Lansing that they started the catering business. This was very profitable because with Lansing being the capital of the state, there were many parties and banquets. For this reason, Lansing always did much better eating business than the other stores. In fact, when the drop in business started to show up because of the Depression, Lansing always seemed to continue to do good business. Some years later, in 1936, when the Depression had already wiped out many businesses and things were really bad, the home dairy people were still optimistic. In fact, they decided to start out on another tack now and went into the supermarket business. The first supermarket was on Niagara Street in Saginaw, just across the river from the downtown area. And the following year, they opened a supermarket in Jackson also. These were called Park and Shop supermarkets. The third Park and Shop store was opened on Gratiot Street in Saginaw in 1940.
With all these new stores opening, Uncle Charlie certainly had to enlarge his staff and maybe you could tell me something, Arnold, about some of these key people that he had to have for managing these stores.
Yes, Helen, I should tell you more about some of these men. In fact, I would like to go back to Rudy Eckert. He was born in Germany and went to school there until he was about 13. And after coming to this country with his folks, he was not able to get much more schooling. However, he was a real self-made and self-educated man. He did a lot of reading, studied the classics and literature. And after he was with Mr. Hack, studied much about the food industry. In fact, he traveled considerably throughout the states, in Mexico, in Canada, and also back to the old country. And he was in charge of the Flint store. He also quoted many banquets and celebrations and came up with many good menus that brought him repeat. I was proudly told of the banquet at the IMA for General Motors of 2,500 plates that they served in 45 minutes. He was a real fireball and always on the go. And I don't know if this proves that, as some say, hard work will kill you, but Rudy Eckert only lived to the age of 45. In fact, it was at the height of his career that he suddenly died in Flint in 1943. This was a very dramatic experience for Mr. Hack because he was very fond of Rudy Eckert. And so when in April of 1943, a few weeks after Mr. Eckert had died, Mr. Hack was presiding at a meeting of employees in Flint and dramatically telling them of how they worked together to build this country, this company up. And it was when he said, "We all miss him greatly. At times I feel as though I have lost my right arm. But time will heal the wound, and another worthy member of our organization will have to take his place." At that moment, he hesitated and fell forward and died himself only a few weeks after Mr. Eckert had. It was at this time that my father, Martin Salvner, had been secretary and treasurer of the company. And since he was third in line, he was elected as president of the company.
What? Arnold, maybe you could tell us how your father got started in the company.
Yes, Helen, I'd be glad to. My father was born in Saginaw in 1881. His parents were pioneers and experienced many hardships. In fact, his father was a wagon maker. My father was only able to go to the eighth grade and then had to start to help support the family and learn a trade. He learned to be a printer and worked in it for 10 years, but then he got the urge to go west and went to Minneapolis. There he attended a business college and did accounting for a packing company in the city. In fact, while he was there, he married my mother, who was from Lansing, and I was born in Minneapolis. But they soon moved back to Saginaw because my grandmother was ill. And here he worked for the Schust Baking Company for several years as a credit manager. And it was while he was working there that he learned, got acquainted with Mr. Hack. And he was so impressed with him that he became a bookkeeper for a home dairy company, even at a considerable cut in salary. So he was hired in January 1st, 1920, very soon after the company was incorporated, and soon after Mr. Eckert had been hired. In the early years when the business was new, he also had to do a lot of innovating with the records to try to show correct results of the business and show where their weaknesses were. But he really came into his own after he took over as president in 43. He instituted many training programs for employees and held regular meetings of managers on a monthly basis, although, of course, these had been held periodically before by the other leaders. He was instrumental in developing a very good pension plan for all the employees, but finally had to retire in 52 because he had become quite ill with diabetes. Another important man in the management of the company was Mr. J.J. Engelhart. He always told that even already as a boy, he was employed by Mr. Hack to pick strawberries on the farm. And later he worked in one of Mr. Hack's creameries and there much about the fundamentals of business. But when Mr. Hack sold the creamery, Mr. Engelhart went in the hardware business in Vassar and later in Merrill. But in the latter part of 1920, when Mr. needed a manager of the Saginaw store, he thought about Mr. Engelhart and hired him at that time. And he was manager there until 1930, when the new Lansing store was opened and then transferred to Lansing to help build that store up. Another important man in the company was Mr. Bernard Geyer. I knew him real well because I worked under him in the office. He was office manager then and controller of the company. He was originally a banker in Flint, and with all the expansion in 1930, he was hired as office manager in the general office in Saginaw. I first worked for the Home Dairy Company from 1930 to 35 in the office under Mr. Geyer, and learned possibly more about accounting there than I did in school. He was an excellent teacher, very patient, and even though he was a very intelligent man, always very humble. We eventually had an office crew of 15 or 20, and he was a father to all of us. Other important men were such as Bill Beyer, who was a brother to Mrs. Eckert, and came with home dairy out of school, learned to be a butcher, ran many of the meat departments in the various stores, and eventually was made manager of the Jackson store. as I stated before, because of the Depression, Jackson was one store that was usually in the red. And for that reason, there was one manager after another in that store. But when Bill Beyer was finally made manager of the store, he was the only one that could make a profit in that store. So he was a terrific operator. Mr. Hack also had a nephew by the name of Arthur Schutt, who connected with the company since 1924. And he was a man that had been in the meat business for some time with Swift & Company and various others, and was a very valuable man to supervise many of our meat departments. He at one time had become manager of the Pontiac division. Another man of great importance to the Home Dairy Company was Lawrence Loos. He had come from Germany at about the age of 18, had had considerable schooling, and worked in a bank for a while in Germany. However, when he came here, he started out washing pots and pans in Flint and eventually worked up to the office manager job there, and then transferred to Saginaw. Was also office manager in Jackson for a while, but made his greatest contribution to the company as purchasing agent for our warehouse, which was in Saginaw, which supplied not only products to the other downtown stores, but eventually all the grocery products to the supermarkets. He was also manager of the Saginaw store for considerable time. Another man that should be mentioned is was the son-in-law of Rudy Eckert, Carlton Whitkey. He married the daughter, Ruth Eckert, who had, as he had, attended college at Western Michigan and Michigan State. And since he was an accountant, was hired for the office in 1943, when many of the personnel changes were made due to Mr. Hack and Mr. Eckert's death. At that time, I had been office manager and then became secretary and treasurer when my father was promoted to president, and Carlton Whitkey became office manager. And as I stated before, my father, M.A. Salvner, was